So I want to know, what are the short-term negatives of not getting a good night's sleep?
You don't want to go to work. There are a lot of short-term side effects.
How do we get better sleep, hopefully without cutting out caffeine completely?
There is lack of attention. You might just shout at someone for no reason.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Well Talks, a podcast by VWell. In this episode, we're going to be talking about one of my favorite subjects, and that is sleep. And to help us do that, we welcome Dr. Omi Narayan, Director of Sleep Medicine at American Hospital Dubai. Doctor, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Varis. Thank you for inviting me.
Now, I'm going to be honest. I didn't get a lot of sleep last night. There's some bags under my eyes. So I want to know, what are the short-term negatives of not getting a good night's sleep?
There are many. Most importantly, you feel tired.
Yeah.
You don't want to go to work. There is lack of attention. You can be quite impulsive. You can be emotional. So there are a lot of short-term side effects. But most importantly, it can't go on for long term.
Yeah, because I know, like, there's a thing that I've heard being thrown around called sleep debt. So if you didn't, if you only got 4 hours of sleep one night, you have to pay it back, as it were, over the week. Is there any truth to that?
That's a myth.
That's a myth.
That's a complete myth. There is nothing called as sleep debt that can be repaid back. So if you're lacking sleep on every night and you feel that weekend I'm going to catch on my sleep, you're not going to be able to do that. You can feel refreshed for that weekend, but that cannot be persistent because the chronic side effects of deprivation of sleep is happening.
Well, let's talk about those chronic side effects, because I've heard some crazy stories about how important sleep is, whereas on the other hand, other people sort of almost brag, they're proud of the fact that they only sleep 4 or 5 hours a night, and they're like, I'm fine, I'm achieving, I'm doing this, I'm successful. What are the truths about the long-term negatives?
So again, there are a lot of long-term negatives now that we are aware of, and now evidence is coming around that. So no one is superhuman. If they are bragging about they can manage at 4 hours, they can do it probably for a couple of days, couple of weeks, couple of months, but eventually they will fail and they will have those side effects. So we can talk about, everyone knows about poor memory retention, poor productivity at work, it affects your immunity. So you might see that you're just falling more unwell, just catching common cold more often than your colleagues. And the common reason being you're just not getting enough sleep. But then comes like more nasty side effects, more dangerous ones, where you can have some cardiovascular side effects. You can actually have stroke. You can actually have obesity, because most of the hormones that is keeping you, like what we call a satiety hormone, satisfied with food that you're eating, is released in your deep sleep. So if you're lacking your sleep, if you're not having good quantity and good quality of sleep, if your sleep is shortened in the duration, you're not getting those nice hormones released. So you might be snacking and you're always feeling hungry. And that can happen at work, at school, at home. And eventually your weight gain is going up and you can become obese.
And how does that affect your mood? Because we know that there's a relationship between sleep and depression, where sometimes if you have depression, you don't sleep enough or you can sleep too much. What's the cause and effect there? Is this lack of sleep causing the depression, or is it the other way around?
Depression is a completely different thing, and we don't know what's the chicken versus the egg, you know, because as you rightly said, depression can cause insomnia, where you're not sleeping enough, and insomnia itself can cause depression. So we don't know which one is the cause and which one is the effect, but depression, we know, is a completely different subject. But yes, if you're not getting enough sleep, you can get mood instability, including depression. And that, like, just for one night, if you have not slept, next day you feel very grumpy, and many times you might see some incivility at work. You might just shout at someone for no reason, and that happened quite often.
Yeah, well, it might be to do with fasting for Ramadan as well. That can have the same effect.
100%. And in fact, thanks for bringing that up, because during Ramadan, we see a lot of things. You might have seen that there are a lot of road traffic accidents happening as well. because people just fall asleep behind the wheels. They're tired, they're hungry, they're not getting enough sleep because you have your iftar time, suhoor time, so you have to manage around that those timings. So you have to cut down on your sleep. And you are cutting down on some of the important, what we call as deep sleep or REM sleep component, and in the early hours of morning. And when that is happening, you're feeling extremely tired. And most of the workplaces and many times, we can't take daytime naps to just catch up on that. So yes, road traffic accidents happen. You are grumpy, you're hungry. So yeah, a lot of side effects we see on day-to-day basis during Ramadan.
But yeah, speaking of that, it's because yeah, people sort of, they nap during the day as it approaches iftar time, then they stay up, they have their suhoor, then they try and sleep a little bit more. Sleep isn't just about the number of hours, is it? It's about doing it in a row. Why is that?
So it's, to some extent, it is about number of hours as well, but regularity is the most important thing. Medically, we call it something called as chronotype. What it means that your chronotype might be different to mine. So you might manage in 6 hours of sleep, but I might need 8 hours of sleep. So a normal average adult would need anything between 7 to 9 hours of sleep. So for example, I definitely need my 7 to 8 hours, but my wife can manage in 6 hours and she is fine. She is equally happy and functional, but the day I get less sleep, I am not as functional.
So how can a person know how many hours of sleep they need? Is there a way of finding that out?
There isn't a test behind that. You will figure it out. And as we grow older, your biological clock sets up. So for teenagers, their biological clock is very different to a toddler and younger children. They tend to sleep a bit later and then they tend to get up later. Unfortunately, school doesn't allow that, and you will see that mood consequences in teenagers quite often.
Is that why they're so moody? Is it because they have to wake up early?
One of the reasons, because they are always trying to catch up, because none of the teenagers sleep before midnight, but they have to go to school at 6 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. So they are trying to catch up.
Definitely. Speaking of the dangers of sleeplessness, because I know this is mostly a lifestyle choice. People are choosing not to sleep or they're overthinking it too much. But I want to talk about medical things. So I personally had a deviated septum. I had enlarged tonsils. I had an elongated uvula. I didn't realize that for 10 years, I wasn't able to breathe while I was sleeping. So I don't know what long-term damage has happened. How important is it for people who experience snoring, sleep apnea, to get the surgeries or the procedures that they need?
So snoring can be common. We call as primary snorers when there is no medical problem. But that happens in 1 in 5 children or adults. 4 in 5, if there can be some underlying problem. So if you are a persistent snorer, as in you are snoring even when you don't have any cold on daily basis, you need to go and see a consultant who specializes in sleep. But if you are having cold, head cold, you have tonsillitis, congested nose, and you're snoring and that settles down, then possibly there is no underlying problem. So I would recommend that if you're persistently snoring, you should definitely meet someone who specializes in sleep. And there are various ways of diagnosing that. And you might require some sleep studies, which can be done in home setting or in the hospital settings. But first and foremost, a comprehensive history, there are some scoring criteria which we look for, is needed.
Now, let's talk about people who aren't sleeping out of choice. I know that WellTalk is for people in the workplace. And I know there's a lot of reason people might not be sleeping. They might be actually too busy. But I've also heard of a phenomenon called late night sleep revenge or something. It's people, they feel like they don't have any autonomy in the day. They don't get to make their own decisions. Every bit of the day is scheduled and scripted, that they feel like they want to take revenge on the day by staying up later than they should. Which, you know, might sound like a good idea at the time, but yeah, what would you say about that?
Not a good idea.
Yeah.
So yeah, we all live in a very hustle culture, particularly in Dubai, and you know, everyone is trying to prove something, they are working hard, and sometimes you take work with you at home as well. And sometimes the work pressures are so much that even if you want to sleep, you can't sleep because you're overthinking about your work or you're overthinking about something that is happening in your life. Now, you can de-stress yourself when people take various things for de-stressing. They might just watch Netflix series, they might go for a walk, they might go to the gym, go for swimming. But that's important that we do try to not like overindulge into thinking about, oh, I'm going to take a revenge on that and not sleep, because that's not going to help you. If you keep watching Netflix, you do a binge night, you know, Netflix is not going to help you at all, neither in short term nor in long term.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of ways to de-stress.
Correct.
Now, there might be someone watching being like, I know sleep is good and everything, but, you know, I'm trying to get promoted. I'm trying to get a job. I'm trying to get to that next level. I need to work harder than everyone else. Because if we don't, someone else is going to do that. Someone else is going to do the work and stay up, do the late nights, do the all-nighters. So I want to try and entice people to get their sleep. What sort of positives do we see? How can it benefit our lives and benefit our work as well?
And that's where maybe the employers have to encourage more and educate people that if you sleep well, your productivity is much better, rather than by cutting corners in sleep, because they might take much longer time to finish the same job, or they might be falling more unwell and taking more time off from work because they're not sleeping enough. So I think it should be mutual, that the employers are respecting or they're promoting a culture that, yeah, you can have, don't have to stay late, because if you stay late, you come home late, you sleep late, right? And they might have families that has implications on their family as well, because their kids are waiting for their parents, they have not come yet. So even kids, they are sleeping late. They have to go to school early morning. So the whole family sometime can get involved in that culture of sleeping late. So I think it should be mutual, that they respect, the employers respect that they should go home on time, that the culture of like, no, working bit longer is probably not the right way. And the employee should be, you know, be honest and open that I need to go home.
Yeah.
This is like for my good well-being for myself and for my family.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? If you get good sleep, then you have happier, more productive employees, which can only be good for a business.
100%. And in fact, some of the countries like Japan, Korea, they have introduced like you can have short naps during daytime and just to increase the productivity. Probably that's a different topic, because nap time is, it can be a double-edged sword. If you take a longer nap, your nighttime sleep can be pushed over.
Yeah, let's talk about nap time, because I will sometimes go down for a nap and I've stopped doing it because I will accidentally sleep for 2, 3, sometimes even 4 hours, which completely messes up my schedule. What is the correct amount of time to nap for?
Maximum 30 minutes. So, and that too, you should not be having a nap in later part of the afternoon. If you're going to have early afternoon, maximum 30 minutes, that can enhance your productivity. But apart from that, if you're having too late or for longer, then it disrupts your circadian rhythm, because we have to have that sleep in the chemical building up, which will help you to fall asleep. As soon as you take a break, those chemicals comes down. And
I want to take this opportunity, because you are an expert, to ask about some gimmicks that I heard about, some naps, like a nap that Einstein used to do. He would fall asleep in a chair with a metal tray beside him, and he'd hold a pair of keys in his hand, and he'd go for a nap. So as soon as he falls asleep, the keys would fall, and that would wake him up. So he liked to nap literally for a second, just to get into that state of tiredness. As soon as he falls asleep, he's up, and that would give a boost of energy. Is that just a story, or is there some truth in that?
Just for a second, it might not make you as fresh, but what we talk about is the light sleep and deep sleep. And when you're having a nap, you generally, we prefer that while you're in the light sleep, you wake up. Because once you go in deep sleep, which can happen after 40 minutes of napping, then you might feel more groggy and more tired when someone wakes you up or you wake up.
Oh, definitely, definitely that is the case. And I also heard about the coffee nap. So the idea is to have a double shot of espresso and then immediately take a nap. So by the time you wake up, the caffeine has taken effect and you're completely energized. It sounds dangerous, is it?
So, again, coffee is another something which is like, you know, various people have various different effects, okay? Some people might have espresso at nighttime and go to sleep, but majority of people, if you have had coffee, the half-life of coffee is like 5 hours. So if you have had coffee at 5 p.m., it's still half of that caffeine is there at 10. And if you're planning to sleep at 10, you can't. So you have to time it. Obviously, it's different for different people. Some of them are like slow metabolizers and some of them very fast. But it's not a good idea to have a coffee late night. And again, it depends on what kind of coffee you're having, whether it's espresso or latte or cappuccino, or is it just a tea or chamomile tea or so. But like energy drinks, any form of tea, coffee is not the best idea if you're planning to have a good night's sleep.
I mean, coffee is a big thing in the workplace, especially in the morning. People drink 3-4, some people even drink 5 cups of coffee. Everyone has different thoughts on it. Some people quit caffeine completely, which I think is just crazy, and I don't know how to do that. What is good coffee etiquette to get a good night's sleep? Is there a number of cups you should have? Is there a cutoff time that you should have them? How do we get better sleep, hopefully without cutting out caffeine completely?
So see, coffee overall, if you have in moderation, and when we say moderation, 1 to 2, maximum of 3 cups is still beneficial. It has a lot of good effects on your heart. It works as an antioxidant. So completely cutting it out, probably not the best idea if you love to drink coffee. But again, in moderation, and not to have, it depends again, what time do you prefer to go to bed? Some people, most people around, you know, they prefer to go to bed around 10 o'clock, but some people want to go at midnight, depending upon if they're starting late in morning. So if you have that in mind, that the coffee half-life is around 5 hours, and what we call as 1/4, 1/4 of life at 10 hours. So your morning cup of coffee can stay in your body till evening. Wow. So if you're having afternoon, probably personally myself, I don't like to drink coffee after 2 p.m. Unless I'm planning a late night, then I will have around 4 or 5. Definitely after 5 is a complete no-no because you can't sleep.
Fair enough. Well, I mean, I think I'm in the bounds. I have 2, and I have the second one by 10 a.m., and then that's it.
That's a very, very good habit.
Excellent. Okay, so what are other methods that people can use to get better night's sleep? So we know not to have coffee after a certain time. What about eating late at night? Does that have an effect on sleep?
Yes, again. So the recommended thing is that you should not have any food 2 hours before sleep, because it takes roughly 2 hours for you to digest food from your stomach. So if you go very, very heavy stomach, you will not have a good night's sleep. So recommended thing is that at least 2, preferably 3. You can't go to bed hungry, so you will never have a good night's sleep if you're hungry. But probably if your bedtime is 10, then you should aim for your dinner between 7 to 8, and latest being 8.
Fair enough. Is there any truth that cheese gives you nightmares, or is that just a myth?
Myth.
I want to talk about digital detoxing. A lot of people have been bringing this up, the fact that technology can have an effect on our sleep. Is this fear-mongering once again, or is it an actual truth, and why does it happen?
There is definitely some truth behind it. Before you asked, what about good habits of sleep? So the most important being regularity. If you have a regular routine, going to bed same time every night, including weekends, your biological clock sets in. You will go to bed and wake up very nice, not have much of fragmented sleep, good night's sleep. The other good habit is what we are talking about, digital detoxing, because the phones, the iPads, they have something as blue light. We all know about it. And as soon as the blue light comes in, our melatonin, which is the normal hormone that makes you sleepy, is just diminished. And melatonin sets in with light. So essentially, when the sun goes away, then the melatonin starts coming in. And that happens with any bright light. So if you have a lot of light in your living room or bedroom, not a good idea, because you're not going to fall asleep, okay? So as the night is approaching, your bedtime is approaching, it's better to, you know, just have dim the light. And naturally, you are helping the melatonin to come in. But if you have any of these phones, iPads, and video games, a lot of blue light is coming in. Not a good idea. TV has one of the least amongst these things.
Okay, so, that's good.
But again, you don't want to watch. So having a TV in your bedroom, very bad idea. You should not be watching telly and expecting that I'll go to bed.
Some people do go to sleep while watching TV, or even listening to music with headphones in. Is that a preferential thing, or is it a bad idea to do that?
It's a bad idea to do it, but some people get used to it. So what I normally say, that if you have any sleep problem, definitely it's a no. But if you don't have a sleep problem and you are used to it, then carry on, continue, but it's still not a good idea. But some people come and they said, I can't go to bed without this. You're already having a problem and you're inculcating into bad habits. It's not going to help. Some people have some clocks which has like LED lights in it. And we all wake up at nighttime. That's natural physiology of sleep. But if you keep looking at the clock, what's the time now? You're pushing your sleep again. Not a good idea.
Definitely.
Same with phone. If you're sleeping with your phone by your bedside, putting it to your charging over there, and you wake up at nighttime and have a look at the phone, it will push your sleep. So not a good idea to have your phone by your bedside. Just keep it away from you.
Amazing. I want to know about some specific techniques that we can get a better night's sleep. So, for example, I know I feel amazing when I wake up without my alarm clock. Alarm clock is the worst thing in the morning. Is this something we can do, apart from regular sleep, to try and wake up before the alarm goes off, to wake up naturally so we can feel amazing every day?
That will happen. If, as I said, regularity is the key. Once you start, most people set up alarm for, you know, as a safety reason. Majority of times, once the regularity comes in, you will wake up most of the time before your alarm, most of the time. So having that regularity, including weekend, holidays, which can be very, very hard, Ramadan is important, and that will happen.
I was going to ask about that, because me, for example, I work very early in the morning. I have to be at work at 6 a.m. So on the weekends, I sometimes stay up till 6 a.m. Right. Is there any way to do that healthily, or is that a choice I have to make?
There isn't a healthy way of doing it. That's a choice. And that, again, is choice. When we talk about choice, there are several occupations where this will come in, you know, for pilots, for cabin crews who are doing, like, you know, transatlantic flights, night shift workers. They are going to have problems. And we talk about the sustainability. It's not sustainable in long run. Mm. So it's okay for short term, but not a very good thing for long term.
Well, I'm going to have to change jobs. What is something you wish people knew when it came to sleep?
I would say, as a one-liner, as a sleep is your superpower. So you don't need any medicines. You don't need any, how we talk about good nutrients, preventing obesity, stop smoking. This is one of your fundamental pillars. You don't need any medicines. You sleep well, good quantity, good quality, in a regular way. Don't skip it. You will stay healthy.
Well, Dr. Romi, thank you so much for being with us here on Well Talk.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you so much for tuning into this episode. Hopefully, you're going to get a good night's sleep tonight, or at least you're going to try. We'll see you next time.